All right, welcome to the December Elanco's Board of Directors meeting. We will start with a moment of silence and a pledge led by Mr. Irvin.
Please stand for a moment of silence and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Are there any agenda modifications?
Yeah, I would like to add to the agenda a motion to appoint Dr. Nadine Larkin as interim superintendent starting on January 25th and until the new superintendent is seated.
Second.
We don't need to vote yet.
Okay.
I'd like to, is my my extra mic working, Jeff? Yeah, thanks. I'd like to have item I, School Board Policy 109 removed from the consent agenda and put in the action items for separate discussion.
I think it's L. I know you said I, but I think it's L.
Right? Oh, thank you. Yes, you're right.
Yep. Okay.
Item L.
Did you get that, Justin? Any other modifications? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor of the agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Student of the month, it's Dr. Sanger.
Thank you, President Dawes. My pleasure to be here this evening and introduce our Students of the Month to you. We are fortunate to have one of our Students of the Month here this evening
Now it's green. I'll start over. Thanks for having me this evening. It's a pleasure to introduce our Students of the Month. For the month of November, our trait of the month was that of respect. And we are fortunate to have one young lady with us here tonight who's one of our Students of the Month. And quite honestly, if you have a daughter, she's the type of girl that you want your daughter to grow up as. So I'd like to introduce her first, and then we'll introduce the other individual learners of the month. So I would like to introduce at this time Miss Lily Berger, if you won't mind standing up, and then head over to Dr. Hollister. Lily is our sophomore student of the month. She's the daughter of Michael and Stephanie Berger of New Holland, Pennsylvania. She is currently enrolled in several honors and AP courses and has received distinguished honor roll status since middle school. She's also a member of our student council, and she is an avid soccer player. Lily Berger. And our other Students of the Month were unable to make it this evening, but I'd like to introduce them as well. Luke Canales is our Freshman Student of the Month. Luke is the son of Noel Canales and Amanda Hayden of Narbonne, Pennsylvania. Luke is currently taking several honors courses and has received distinguished honor roll since middle school. Our Junior Student of the Month is Carly Laudermilk. She is the daughter of Daniel and Tanya Laudermilk of New Holland, Pennsylvania. Carly has taken several honors courses over the years and has received honor roll since seventh grade. And then finally, Tanner Donahue is our senior student of the month. Tanner is the son of Thomas and Tammy Donahue of Narbonne, Pennsylvania. Tanner has taken several honors and AP courses over the years and has maintained honor roll since seventh grade. Tanner is also a member of our class of 2022 club, and he's also on our rifle team, and I believe he's actually performing tonight in our performance behind us. Thank you.
If I could just also offer my appreciation and thanks from the superintendent's office. Congratulations and thank you. Thanks for being a leader. Even though you might not be elected to office, you're still a leader, and we appreciate that. And I always share this with our students of the month, too. While it's a night to celebrate and it's a night for us to say thank you, the other side of that coin is we need you to continue to do that. This doesn't make you finished. This is just saying that your administration, your teachers have tapped you on the shoulder and said, we need more from you of the same. So congratulations and to the family as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Hang on. Mr. Dahl, citizens' comments.
Seeing if you're all awake. Apologies for that. We're going to do citizens' comments first. But before we do, I'd like Dr. Hollister to just say a word.
Thanks, Mr. Dahl. Asked me to comment. Apparently, the Facebook rumors have really gotten exciting the last 2 weeks. There's evidently some information out there about faculty members being arrested and a student being arrested. Completely false. No truth to that whatsoever. Not sure how that got out there, but Mr. Dahl wanted me to clarify that. If, in fact, that has ever happened, we would address that to the degree that we could, which kind of falls into the second comment. Last week was also a really tough week for security. As you know, across the country, there were these threats. Know that we take those threats very seriously and that we work hand in hand with the New Holland Police Department and other agencies if necessary. We're as transparent as we can possibly be, but there are times when we can't share all the details because there are ongoing investigations and some of the information is privy, and that helps the police solve certain crimes. So, you know, we always give you everything we can. We actually have a reputation of being a very transparent school district. As you all know, we share everything. Don't always agree with everything, but we always share everything. We try to really to serve the community that way. And so security is in my almost 14 years as superintendent, has always been the highest priority, even above academics. And we have a large number of behind-the-scenes items operating that help to keep our learners safe. So I just wanted to – I felt like the need to address that. Mr. Dahl asked me to address it. So Facebook rumors, just be really careful. We all know. I call it fake book. My wife is on it too often. I tell her to get off of it. But, you know, sometimes that stuff really gets carried away. So we wanted to clarify that. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, were there comments submitted online?
Yes, Mr. President, we had one comment that was submitted online from Stephen Hurst at East Earl Township. It has been brought to the community's attention that an English teacher presented an essay called A Modest Proposal to Slash the Elderly Population. Have you read it? Let me share a few paragraphs from the essay before expressing my utmost disgust in it. Today, as in 1729, when a modest proposal was written, the same cloud of overpopulation darkens our lives. But to deal with the problem, we should forego sacrificing children, humanity, seed, corn, as a solution. Instead, let us consider judicious pruning of the withered branches of the tree of life, the elderly. Let them pay the price for dwindling and passing lanes on freeways, monopolizing harried clerks at computer stores, and voting down needed public school tax increases. The elderly are living too long and consuming more than just air and sunshine. Are the elderly entitled to our sympathy? Of course, but the elderly, though no fault of their own, ravage the earth like an endless cloud of locusts. The writer suggests two options to help speed the elderly exit. Number one, the carrot. Number two, the stick. The carrot recommends that the government should create a program to encourage voluntary self-termination by the elderly called Sunset of Great Opportunity, SOGO. The government would offer a modest sum of $25,000 to anyone age 55 or older willing to take an early exit from worldly woes. Money could help pay for the grandchild college education, or it could finance a last trip to the slot machines and crap tables in Las Vegas casinos. Surely the generous financial incentives of the program and opportunity to end life peacefully accompanied by the loved ones would be attractive. The stick. If voluntarism doesn't work, carrot, sterner measures would be needed. He proposes establishment of terminal taxes, remuneration in place of full future service, rip-offs, to be assessed at the age of 65. This would acknowledge seniors' lessons, contributions to society. Of course, exceptions could be made for members of Congress, billionaires, and modern and popular entertainers. If too few elders took advantage of this offer, names will be drawn from a national lottery to make up any shortfall. Doesn't this remind you of the movie Hunger Games? I just don't understand in any capacity how the teacher thought this example would be acceptable to use. To use literature such as this that has a complete disregard for human life is inexcusable, disgusting, and should not be tolerated, and I would go as far as suggesting termination. The complete absence of judgment on behalf of the teacher to even consider including this in the curriculum should be very concerning for the administrations and parents alike. Just imagine sitting around a dinner table, Christmas dinner this Saturday, and out of nowhere your 10th grader suggests that grandma and grandpa should take an early exit from the world in order to pay for their college tuition. How would this make you feel? This is sickening. With all the other negative information our children have to process in today's society, was this really the best material this teacher had to offer? I'm sure I can speak for others when I say this deserves an explanation. Would this be considered the Spartan way?
I have two comments that were submitted to speak tonight. Just to remind those that are speaking, you're limited to 5 minutes. That'll be kept by Mr. Johnson. He'll give you the four-minute warning, then obviously the five-minute warning. Also, keep in mind, per our board policy, you need to make sure you address the board and not the public. And if you are speaking about a specific situation, make sure you've gone to the administration first at the building level, and if that did not suffice, then by all means, feel free to come to us. That being said, first I have Mr. Horst. Dave.
Good evening, board. I'm going to be more light-spirited tonight. my name's Dave Horst. I live in 1186 East Earl Road in East Earl, PA. And I was listening to a pastor on the radio, actually the day after the last meeting, and he was talking about Abraham and Isaac when Abraham went up to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. And something jumped out at me that never jumped out at me before, and maybe most of you people are church people, I think. Maybe this is old news to you, but it has a Christmas, even though it's from Genesis 22, it actually is a Christmas message. So I want to just read a couple verses and then expand on it. Isaac spoke unto his father Abraham and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, we have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went both of them together on up the mountain. On Christmas Day, 2,000 and some years ago, God provided for himself a lamb for us. There was nothing we could do as citizens of this earth to gain a position where we could be friends of God. So God had to provide for himself a lamb. Abraham was very prophetic. Not only did that saying mean something to his son Isaac, you look 1,500 years, or 15, well, whatever it is, not 1,500, 2,500 years ahead to now, maybe even longer than that, it was prophetic in the sense that God has provided the lamb now for our salvation. And my wish for the board and for all the people here in the audience is that this Christmas season, the lamb that God provided for himself, so he didn't have to take it out on us, would be more real to you than it's ever been before, and that God would become more special to you than he's ever been before. Something that really jumped out at me a week or two ago. Sometimes when I'm watering in the greenhouse, I'm quiet enough that I can hear God say things. I believe this past year has been a year of chaos and confusion, where it seems like the powers that be have been trying to divide us, the American people. I got a real sense in my spirit that this coming year, 2022, there is going to be a level of oneness and unity that we have not seen in my lifetime. I really believe that God is going to intervene, and we are going to become one. Just want to encourage you to watch for that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and I'll try to do the same. Looking forward to good things, and God bless you. May this Christmas be your best ever. Thanks.
Thank you. Sean Reese.
Oh, it's the right height tonight. Good evening. My name is Sean Reese, 348 East Main Street. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. The first one is hopefully an area that we can find some agreement on the board. I know that at the last board meeting, Mr. Ramsey talked about the possibility of looking into purchasing at-home testing kits in bulk for learners. I just wanted to encourage the board to continue to explore that and hopefully move forward with that. I did a little bit of asking around, and as far as I know, no other school district in Lancaster County that I know of is doing this yet, so I think this is a really cool opportunity for Elanco to kind of lead the way among the other Lancaster County school districts. And I know that you and I have gone round and round a little bit on masks and other things related to COVID, but I think this is also an opportunity to show people like me and people who think similarly to me that you are still taking learner safety seriously. And this is a way to show that, you know, on a voluntary basis that you want to provide those means to learners to get tested that may not otherwise be able to do so. So I've been encouraged by the conversation about that so far and just wanted to in turn encourage you to keep moving in the right direction with that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was policy 109, which is on the agenda this evening. And I wanted to echo a couple of comments that were made at the last meeting when I wasn't here, which is that, you know, everyone in this room clearly values their child's education. You know, no one in here could ever be accused of being a disengaged parent when it comes to education, because if you were, you wouldn't be in the room right now. So that's clearly something we all take seriously together. But I view my role really as, when my kids go to school, they learn what they learn and what's in the curriculum, and then when they come home, we try to have really great talks about what they did at school that day. So I don't, as a parent, think it's necessarily my role to prescribe the exact curriculum that my kids are taught. I'm not afraid of a brain pop video. I think instead that's just an opportunity for me to have a deeper conversation with my kids, because I haven't been in the parenting game very long, but one thing I've learned that's kind of sad and also, I guess, a little empowering for my children is that we can't protect our kids from everything. You know, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much we try to construct a bubble around them, at some point, you know, they'll go beyond the horizon and they'll get exposed to whatever they're exposed to. So I think a better, more proactive way to do it is have those conversations at home about what they're learning at school, instead of thinking that there's a way through board policy or through the suspension of educational materials that we instead somehow shield our kids from being exposed to things we don't want. So I would just encourage you to look at it from that angle. I know some teachers are really hoping that they can get brain pop back and have that as just another tool. They're certainly effective teachers already. You know, the absence of brain pop does not make them ineffective teachers, but this is just one extra tool, one extra resource as a teacher to help their learners be successful. So I would just encourage you in those areas. Thank you so much for being here, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you all. Dr. Larkin, regarding the first comment, would you be able to provide any context for that? Or what do you need to, can you bring back something regarding the context of the written?
That essay is part of the English grade 10 curriculum. It's a part of the satire unit, and it is used specifically to help teach satire and how it can be used and not used. It is a seminal piece. It was written by Jonathan Swift in the 1700s.
Got it. Any other questions from the board? Anything? I promise I wasn't intentionally trying to skip citizens' comments, but now we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion now for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
You have some
yes.
new personnel?
We have three teachers on the personnel report that we would like to introduce to you this evening. We'll start with Mr. Eric from New Holland.
So short. That's why I moved down to elementary, so kids could look up to me, like physically and metaphorically, but then kids are still tall in elementary, so I must just be really short. Okay, so we have two people. I'm going to recognize them separately, okay? We have Katie Waite. If you'd stand up, Katie. Yeah, we got to stand up. Katie is just finishing her student teaching, and she's going to jump in for the second semester with us in fifth grade. We are very excited to have her. She seems very energetic, very passionate, and we're pumped. So did you guys want, do you ask questions or anything like that? No questions. All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Katie. And then we also have Maria Buck. Maria Buck will be joining us as our new PE teacher. I've worked with her ever since I started at New Holland, so 2.5 years. Just been really impressed with her heart for this community and for the learners. The only downside is that she's an Alabama fan. But I've decided that her passion and love for kids, I can work past that. But we're very excited to have her. She will be starting again, or starting as that new role January 3rd. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And then we have Mrs. Schrantz, who will introduce the new teacher at first grade.
I'll never be as witty and charming as Rob Eric is, so. But I would like to introduce what we are most happy about right now. We are welcoming Meg Heckman to the Blue Barrel team. She will be joining us in first grade. She comes to us with 11 years experience in KN1 from a local charter system, and we are most gracious and appreciative for her mid-year entry and joining with us.
Thank you.
And Rob's agreeing that I'll never be as witty and charming.
And I will need to abstain from the vote because of a relationship.
Conflict of interest, maybe? Interest,
yeah.
Fair enough. Any other discussion on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
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 No? Or opposed? Motion, or the agenda's passed. Congratulations, all of you. Three of you that are here, welcome aboard.
From the superintendent's office, congratulations and thank you for joining our team. Some of you, two of you, are very familiar with us, of course, already. So you know we're a great school district. We got a lot of great things happening for our learners. Really a leader in so many ways in the region. So we're glad to have you. Print out your agenda. Keep this as an artifact or souvenir for your professional career. You'll want to look back on it someday, hopefully with really great memories. So congrats and thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to the action items, Mr. Conroy, I'm going to start that with you since you were the one that requested that motion. Dr. Larkin.
Oh, yes. So with Dr. Larkin taking the seat, I would move and make the motion that we approve tonight that Dr. Larkin take the interim seat of superintendent starting January 25th until the new superintendent is in his seat.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of Dr. Larkin taking the role of interim superintendent, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you for filling in, Dr. Larkin. Moving on to Board Policy 109, I think Brian asked that to be moved down, so I give the floor to him.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve Board Policy 109.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I did have a couple of questions. Dr. Larkin, thank you for sending the administrative regulations. That was very helpful. I think most of my questions surround a lot of the administrative regulation is driven by verbiage that we've removed from the policy itself. So I wanted to maybe just your comments or thoughts on why we would not make it policy but make it part of the regulation. I know PSBA drives some of it, but just curious if you had any thoughts.
That's one of the main reasons. PSBA is very clear that the administrative regulations speak to how administrators implement the policy. And so pulling those into administrative regulations allows us to make changes a little easier if necessary in consultation with the board. But it really speaks to the role of the administration and how we should be doing that. We haven't used administrative regulations in a while, and it has been a while since we changed this policy and updated it. And so that's why we felt we could add a little more clarity to how we're doing it now and how we're going to do it in the future with the taking the administrative regulations pieces out of the policy.
Can you speak a little bit to that administrative regulation development process? Who's involved? How it comes to fruition?
What we did was we pulled together a team. We had the district office team, which was myself and Greg Frederick. We also had Adam Guyman and Louis Soper, who are instructional technology specialists, because we were looking at also including the digital material in this AR as well. And then we had the librarians. The head librarian at this point is Kelsey Means, and we were the core team that took what the librarians were already working on to make changes and then took the AR from the PSBA and combined them and looked at them and tweaked them. We then brought them to you for further feedback.
So once those are developed, are they, how are those displayed? Are they displayed publicly? Are they part of the policy? I was looking for other examples in our board policy, and then right. I did not see other areas where the ARs were attached to the policy, but
right. We, at this point, because we don't use them very often, we don't have ARs attached. We do have the forms that would have to be used to answer, to fill out, to have a review or a reevaluation. We do have those forms already attached in other policies, and we will do that now with this one. Justin did reach out to the PSBA for us because Brian had questioned as well how we would do that, that we can attach the whole thing to the policies, or there are three other ways, I believe, Justin, that PSBA said that would be a good way to make sure everybody had access to the ARs as well. So right now we're looking at, we're going to put them with the policy just to get it started, but then we're going to talk as we add more ARs. If we add more ARs, how would it be beneficial to the community and us to show those and have them easily accessible?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I mean, because I don't think it's an inappropriate way to address how the administration team handles the carrying out of policy. Mm-hmm. I just think that it'd be nice if it were publicly disclosed, mm-hmm. so that everyone's expectations were that's how things were going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last question, I think, would be just in the event administrative regulations are changed or adjusted, Is it the same review group? Is that brought to the board's attention for review? What's that process?
It would probably be start with the same review group. We could add some different members based on the need for the change, and then we would always bring administrative regulation changes to the board for you to look at and give feedback.
And also, Brian, I'll say to that one specifically, and this is what I was going to mention anyway, just so happens in reviewing 003 as well, in 003, our functions, it specifically states two administrative regulations. I'll read a portion of this. Superintendent shall be responsible for implementing board policies and establishing administrative regulations for the operation of the school district that are not inconsistent with the state and federal statutes or regulations, are dictated by policy of the board, are binding to the district employees and students when issued, and shall be submitted to the board for review. And I thought this ending here was really important. The board reserves the right to alter or rescind any such administrative regulations. So I think it does speak really well to what they're doing, the process that they took, and what we are able to do if we see something that needs to be changed before they change it as well. So it is already in policy, I think, and having them attached, like Justin found out and Nadine and I were talking, I think will be a huge piece of transparency, like we've talked about. So
that's great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Any other questions on this? Nadine, I'm assuming there's going to be other policies that would be changed and with ARs added onto it over the course of the coming.
As we come across them and the need for them, we will do that.
Awesome. Hearing no other questions, all in favor of approval of School Board Policy 109, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Policy approved. The next action item I will default to Dr. Hollister on.
Yeah, this is just a slight adjustment to the this year's school calendar in order to meet the needs of our high school. This is a request from high school administration. They need an early dismissal, but we also need to, and that was on the calendar, but we also need to allow the middle school to dismiss, and it's a busing issue. We just can't cover coming back to get the middle school guys later. So it's just allowing middle school to receive the same early dismissal that the high school campus will have. So it's just a secondary campus early dismissal.
Do I have a motion to approve the changes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to reports, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau did not meet this month. Our next meeting is January 12th, and that's the reorganization meeting for the Bureau. That's the primary focus of that meeting.
Awesome. Thank you. Lancaster Lebanon IU. Sorry, Paul.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU met on December 8th, 2021. We approved by unanimous vote two new board members, one from Palmyra Area School District and one from Mannheim Central School District. We approved payment of invoices in the amount of $7,331,211.02. Under business services, we approved five new or additions to existing contracts. Early childhood and special education services, we approved six new or additions to existing contracts. Under instructional services, we approved three new contracts. Human resources had 12 employees resign, two were terminated, two retired. We had 26 new hires, 15 change of positions and salaries, and one leave of absence. And we also approved, just right after this, the hiring of a new executive director for the coming, at minimum of 4 years.
I did provide each of the board members and the administrators with a copy of the board actions and the helping districts help students. If anyone has any questions, I'll answer them now or get back to you with the answer.
Any questions for Mr. Irvin? Moving on to Lancaster CTC.
Yeah. So before I say that, I'm going to just back up something Dr. Hollister had said regarding safety, just to make it on record and to the board specifically that as things do progress through policy, when Dr. Larkin and I were speaking, there are many policies that do speak to safety that I know are maybe outdated to some extent. But as we go and progress, I'll be looking at a lot of those as things need to change, just to make that known, because I agree. I think we do a phenomenal job. And this week specifically, the administration did a really fantastic job of communicating well. So I appreciated that. But I looked up a lot of the policy. I'm like, great, this is another opportunity to continue to just get better. So thank you. Specifically to CTC, Dina, wow. Appreciate your service over there. It was intense. It was really good, very specific to budget. And I did talk to Mr. Ramsey a little bit about this. The person over there, Michael, is more than willing to come and speak to us when it comes to the information they have that comes over to us for our budget. He does a really, really good job in laying everything out on how the CTC is run. He's phenomenal. So if anybody has any specific budgetary questions there, Michael can come or give us the presentation in a form where even Keith could give it to us. A couple of other things. I was just blown away as to what they do when it comes to the driver's license permit pieces, the CDLs, and just offering when PennDOT was shut down for so long. They offered it to anybody, basically. It really is a high school college of aspects of what's being offered. And I specifically also reached out to Dr. Hollister to clarify a little bit on the benefit that we gain from it. I mean, it is kind of just a huge extension of what Jill Hackman does here for us, what special needs does for us. It's just they have a lot of things going on. Open houses had happened both virtually and physically. They had record numbers of people coming out to see what's going on, from the construction to baking and cooking. And I mean, it really is amazing of what's going on. Our meeting was the reorganizational meeting, so it was a little bit interesting for me. And at least this point in time, it looks like I may end up being also on their policy committee. So it'll be an interesting dive into kind of what's going on there for me. And I'll echo Paul to say, if you have any questions about that, let me know. I'll try to answer or get back to you.
Any questions? Next, legislative update.
Back to back, right? All right, so lots of things in Harrisburg. Here's what I have. A few things that I want to mention specifically that I had noticed this week. I reached out to a few legislative people in the area of what's going on. I know that on December 13th, they had a hearing on COVID preventions and vaccination treatments and data collection. Specifically, Bill 938 was passed at the Senate, stating that COVID vaccine would not be required for children to enter school. I thought that was a really interesting one as far as where the Senate is taking things. With that in mind, they've been also working on the Medical Freedom Act that would make it illegal to mandate any medical procedures, including vaccinations. On December 15th, they also had a CRT hearing. They did say that that was extremely helpful as far as the information. And it kind of brought up the curriculum thing. I know a few people had mentioned curriculum tonight. And I do think with all of the months right now on curriculum that I've spent in looking at that, I think we have to really be careful in using the word curriculum, because I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of curriculum versus lesson plans. With that said, on the Senate floor, and you may have seen it in one of the emails that we got, House Bill 1332, posting of curriculum on the websites. And you can go and look it up. I want to say that we do a fantastic job. So to the administration team, thank you very much. There are a couple of districts that I was suggested to go look at as examples of what's there. And I think we're doing a really, really good job across the Commonwealth at this point. But that House bill is being, I will say, it is being opposed by certain administrations, PASA specifically, PSBA not so much. So it will be interesting to see kind of where that goes. But that's the report that I have. If anybody has any questions, just let me know.
And I'm guessing the mask thing, now that Pennsylvania State Supreme Court has finished it, it's not going to come up again?
Correct.
Okay. Awesome. Any questions? All right. Moving along to the superintendent's report, and I believe this will be the last official superintendent's report, if I do my math correctly.
That is correct, Mr. Dahl. Thank you. I have a couple of items, all good stuff to share. This comes from Doc Heckman, one of our music teachers. Last month on Friday, November 17th, and Saturday, November 18th, seven outstanding young musicians, along with Mr. Heckman and our new music teacher, Mr. Weidemer, represented Elanco at the District Honors Band. This was held at Manheim Central Middle School this year. We've hosted this event in the past, and it's always a great weekend. I want to include the names of these folks in just a second, but it should be noted that learners were coming from 20 different school districts spanning 8 different counties. So this was a large event, and so to have the number of students represented that we have is a thumbs up for us and our music program. The students who participated from Brecknock, Breston Souter, Chase Young, Madeline Data Venera. Clayton Eberle from Blue Ball, Gabe Hoover and Bailey Souter, and from New Holland, Cordell Haller. All of those students, extra practice, extra time. And the way this works, the learners show up on a Friday night, they get a piece of music, they come together and they work that music and they present a concert the Saturday afternoon. It's pretty intense. And as I said, we've hosted this event here. Congratulations to those students. Just a piece of information for the board. If anyone's interested, now you were all seated previously, but the IU is having a school board orientation. If you want to get a refresher, you're certainly welcome to attend that, even though all of you who sat have experience. Certainly that would be open to any one of the 9 of you. If you're interested, let me or Mr. Johnson know and we can get you signed up. That is January 31st, 2022. At this point, it's scheduled to be in person. I don't think they've had an in-person event for this in the last 2 years. So if you're interested in getting a brush up or revisiting some of that training, we can get you signed up for that again January 31st. Next item I have is just a piece of information for everyone. We'll be launching a new website come January. After a whole lot of work and a whole lot of and several false starts, not to anyone's fault here. Mr. Johnson has led that effort to get that updated. He's been working with a small team of folks to get our website launched, a brand new platform, and we are expecting really exciting things from that. Many hands, many eyes worked on that website. I want to publicly thank Mr. Johnson for making that happen. So thanks, Justin. Website in January. The next thing I have is, if you haven't heard already, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, Coach Zamperini was voted by his peers and was honored at the annual LL League Football Coaches Banquet as the Section 3 co-coach of the year, shared with a coach from LS. All other coaches awarded with this recognition from other sections were with teams that won their section. We finished at 5-5 this year, the first non-losing season in 6 years. So it's nice that other coaches recognize the tremendous growth and effort that Coach Zamperini put forth on behalf of our student athletes. So it was a real nice honor for Coach Z and for our learners' athletes as well. So congratulations to both the athletes and Coach Z. The last thing I have, we just found out, just as hot off the press came in today, Joe Steinmacher and Mike Stitzer received another $25,000 grant from CNH for a new printing mechanism, printing machine. They have continued to knock it out of the park for some of these. They've gotten several $25,000 grants from CNH for technology in our STEM labs and technology education labs up in the high school. So congratulations to Joe and his colleagues, Joe and Mike, as well as the colleagues. This is huge. I mean, to keep our equipment modernized in our tech facilities is just really amazing. And that just doesn't happen. Now, if anyone's ever filled out a grant for anything, it's not easy. It's really actually quite difficult. It's frustrating. Kudos to those teachers for their fortuitousness and sticking with it and making that happen for our learners. So congratulations, and we'll look for that new technology here hopefully in the spring. And I believe that concludes my report. Just a reminder, we did have a short executive session prior to the board meeting for a personnel matter that is allowable under the Sunshine Act. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I have two things. One is in regards to the grants that you just mentioned. Would the district ever look at hiring a grant writer to assist so our teachers didn't have to?
We've gone back and forth on that. We sort of had someone hoping to grow into that, and we've just never found that to work out economically, to be honest with you. Yeah. There's probably other positions I would advocate hiring before we would do grant, I think. And something we need to talk about at some point. We're going to need to provide a lot of support for our learners on the emotional side. It's no secret that this country has a mental health crisis, and it's become more prominent over the COVID. I've had firsthand experience with some of that stuff, and I think this district is starting to look at safety. There's a whole other bucket of safety called emotional support that we're going to, you know, there's physical safety, and then there's that emotional safety. So, as we start looking at positions, your next superintendent is going to have to prioritize some of that. But and I don't see that. I honestly don't say that tongue in cheek. It really is just going to be something that's going to be ongoing the next couple of years, because I think all the anxiety and that comes along with COVID and the, just the changes and the unpredictableness of it has really put people on edge, both adults and our learners. I think that's just going to be an area that we spend some money on going forward.
So. I fully agree with you on that.
Okay.
Second thing, last board meeting, maybe last one, I brought up the whole idea of providing at-home tests for COVID, and you had given us the update. About we do have the ability to get them should we so choose. How would that work out? Is that a discussion that we need to have as a board at the next board meeting?
So we did do that research. They're pretty expensive, and so it would be an issue, cost-benefit equation. We can bring costs. Do you have the costs here, Keith? No. I can talk.
I mean, my thought is if I don't remember the last stat, but if 40%+ of our district is at or below the poverty line,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be an expense that they might not want to.
True.
And all families, quite honestly, mm-hmm. I don't think our teachers should have to pay for it.
Correct.
I think it's a service that we should look at as a district to provide for people in the building.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Why don't we bring costs to you next month? And we'll let you guys, sort of sort that through. I don't disagree with you. If you can get them right now, they're hard to find.
You're absolutely
really hard to find. So you're going to pay for them. But we can bring a proposal to you next month.
I'd be curious for a proposal of how much they cost and maybe a way that we could fund it. Like, what does that mean?
Sure.
Is it the ESSER's money?
Money. Yeah, we could funnel some of that. Yeah.
Is it something else that can get pushed off? I just think it's worth our conversation.
Okay.
To see where it leads. Mr. Irvin?
You might want to check for the IU because they are buying some. Maybe we can get some bulk purchase there.
Yeah. The tests that we can get range anywhere from about $8 a test to $22 for a two-pack, which would be $11. Right. So between $8 and $11.
Cool. Any other questions? Any other conversations? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor of adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you and see you in January.